Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we want to read verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. For a little while this evening, we want to take a look at four passages of Scripture that have several things in common. Now, they all teach different lessons, and we need to pay close attention to the lessons that are taught. But although these verses that we'll be studying do present some information that is all different from one another, these verses do have several things in common. For one thing, they were all written by the Apostle Paul. Second, they were all written to those who preached the gospel. Three of the verses we'll be looking at were written to Timothy, who was an evangelist, and one passage was written to Titus, who served as a preacher on the island of Crete. There's something else that they all have in common. Each one is referred to as a faithful saying. So although these verses teach different matters that all relate to Christianity, they all have these things in common. Now, when the Apostle Paul referred to these statements that he wrote as faithful sayings, he was not in any way implying that the other things that he wrote were not faithful. According to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, the Apostle Paul's writings are the commandments of the Lord. We need to keep that in mind when we study the writings of the apostles and prophets. They did not present their own words, rather they were presenting messages from the Lord. But when Paul referred to these sayings that we'll be studying as faithful sayings, he was emphasizing the importance of these principles that are taught in these particular passages. Remember, all of these verses were written to those who preached the gospel. They needed to remember these things in their own lives, and of course they needed to remember these principles as they were endeavoring to teach others the will of God. It just seems that Paul was telling Timothy and Titus, you remember these sayings that I'm referring to as faithful. Don't ever forget them. Always emphasize them in their teaching and preaching. Well, let's begin with the one that we read, 1 Timothy 1 in verse 15. And the point being made in this verse is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I've said for years, and Lord willing, will continue to say, always study passages in their proper context. Well, when we look at this verse in its context, we see that Paul was expressing his gratitude to God for the change that had taken place in his life. Back up to verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So, that's the context that surrounds the verse that we're looking at right now, 1 Timothy 1 in verse 15. And Paul was expressing his sincere gratitude unto God for the change that had taken place in his life. You see, before, Paul had been an evil person. Now, he was not one who would steal something. He was not a liar. But, nevertheless, he had been an evil person. He had been an evil person in that he persecuted the Lord's followers. And do you remember when Paul was traveling to Damascus, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I don't know that Paul ever saw the Lord before he was crucified. I know that he saw him after he was resurrected, and there was a reason for that. That was necessary so that he could be qualified to serve as one of the Lord's apostles. But when the Lord said, "Why do you persecute me?" he was referring to the way that Saul at that time was persecuting Christians. And the Lord took that very personally. But Paul considered himself at one time to be the chief of sinners. Why? Because of what he had done to the Lord. However, even though Paul considered himself to be the chief of sinners, God had saved him. And Paul had been saved because of what is revealed in verse 15. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, Jesus came into the world to make salvation from sin available to us, and it cost the Lord his precious life to provide that salvation. That's a faithful saying. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not only is that statement considered to be faithful, but Paul said it's worthy of all acceptation. In other words, it deserves our full acceptance. Well, our next faithful saying shows us how we accept the salvation that Jesus came to provide. So faithful saying number one is that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and read verse 11. Second Timothy 2 and verse 11. "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." This faithful saying teaches us that in order to live with Christ, it's essential that we die with him. The first faithful saying is that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, in order to live with him, in order to be saved by him, we must be dead with him. What exactly does that mean? I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we have other scriptures to help us understand exactly what that means. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and read a few verses that we like to emphasize and we like to read on a regular basis because they're so important. Now, we know that in order to live with Christ, it's essential that we be dead with him. How do we die with the Lord? Well, the same apostle is about to teach us in his letter to the Christians in Rome. Romans 6, let's begin at verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those verses explain exactly what dying and living with the Lord are all about. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul did when he was Saul of Tarsus, to be saved from his sins. The Lord sent a man named Ananias to speak to Saul, and Saul's conversion is recorded in three chapters in the book of Acts, chapters 9, 22, and 26. To get the full picture, we need to study all of those sections of Scripture. But in Acts 22 and verse 16, we learn what Ananias told Saul. He said, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We learn from Acts 9 and verse 18 that Saul got up and he was baptized. A great change took place in his life. Prior to that, he had been blind. And for 3 days, he was fasting and he was praying. But after he did what Ananias instructed him to do, he was then able to eat some food, and the Bible says he was strengthened. And immediately, he started preaching that Jesus is the Christ. Now, all of those verses help us to explain what's involved in dying with the Lord. It's essential that we die with him so that we can live with him. Jesus died, he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day. We die to sin, we're buried with the Lord in baptism, and then we're raised from baptism, and it's at that point that we're able to walk in newness of life. You know, I've often wondered, when Paul was writing these verses in Rome, in the book of Romans, if he was remembering the occasion when he was baptized. And now he's explaining to others what's involved in being saved from our sins. Well, we learn from the first faithful saying that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We learn from the second faithful saying that those who die with the Lord will be saved. Now, we still want to look at two other faithful sayings, but the other two that we want to look at are directed to those who have been saved. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, and let's read a few verses starting at verse 7. "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. But godly, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." In these verses, a contrast is made between physical exercise and godliness that we talked about this morning. Now, Paul acknowledges that there is some profit associated with physical exercise. But the benefits of physical exercise are limited to this present life here on earth. Godliness, that is, doing things that please God, is profitable unto all things. It holds promise for the present life, and it holds promise for the life to come. So, there's a contrast made between physical exercise and godliness or spiritual exercise. Godliness is so important that one of the verses we looked at this morning, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, that verse teaches us that we're to follow after it. There are certain things that we're to flee, but one of the things we're to follow after is godliness. Now, I want you to notice that this saying is worthy of all acceptation. We've already read that expression once before. In other words, this saying deserves our full acceptance. It's not to be overlooked. It's not to be diminished. It's not to be cast aside. It is to be accepted. Now, very closely associated with this faithful saying is the fourth one that we'll look at in just a moment. I've always thought it was interesting that verse 7, and this was written to Timothy, who was a young evangelist, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. I think it's interesting that Paul told Timothy and Titus to avoid foolish questions. He said all they do is gender strife. Questions that are designed to gender strife or serve no good purpose are simply to be avoided. Whenever I read those verses in Paul's letters to Titus and Timothy, I can't help but think about a question that I was asked a couple of years ago by one of my neighbors. She has four cats. I'm not particularly fond of cats, but she is. And one day I was talking to them out in the yard, and she said, "Raymond, I want to ask you a question since you're a minister." I thought, well, this could be interesting. She said, "When cats die, do they go to heaven?" And I thought for a moment, I need to be very careful in how I answer this. I said, "The Bible teaches me to avoid foolish questions." Well, we all had a good laugh out of it. I said, "By the way, that's what Paul wrote to Timothy." And her response was, "Timothy must have been a wise man." Well, she didn't understand that Timothy was written to Timothy, but maybe that had an opportunity to at least plant a seed. I don't know if it did or not. Now, she wasn't really wanting to know. She was just trying to have a conversation, because sometimes we kid each other some. She's a very good-natured person. But some things are just to be refused. Paul referred to profane and old wives' fables. In other passages, he talked about foolish questions. Such things are to be refused. Now, we want to use tact in refusing those things. I think I did. But we don't need to get into a discussion of something that is not going to serve any good use. Well, we've looked at three faithful sayings. Let's turn our attention to the last one, Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Titus 3 and verse 8. This verse teaches us that those who have been saved are to be careful to maintain good works. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Good works are certainly valuable. They are good, and this verse says they're profitable unto men. Those who do the good works are blessed by the Lord, but those who receive the benefits of the good works are blessed as well. So good works are valuable. They're good and they're profitable unto men. But it's interesting, the Bible places special emphasis on the fact that Christians are to be involved in doing good works. Look at verse 14 of chapter 2 of the book of Titus. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Those who have been saved by the Lord are to be zealous of good works. And then look also at chapter 3 and verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Good works will keep Christians from being unfruitful. And Jesus taught in John 15 about the importance of bearing fruit on behalf of the Lord. And of course, we let our light shine by doing good works in the Father's name. Those who have been saved are to be careful to maintain good works. Now, that's something that Titus needed to remember for his personal benefit. But did you notice that Paul said, I want you to affirm these things constantly? In other words, Titus was to give great attention to these things in his teaching and preaching. I always like to point out that Titus had his work cut out for him. He was serving as an evangelist on the island of Crete. And the people in Crete had a bad reputation. The gospel was carried there. Many people became Christians. Then Titus was to teach these new Christians the will of the Lord. Now, from the reputation of the Cretans, I would doubt that they placed a whole lot of emphasis on doing good works. But these people who had been saved by the Lord were to be careful to maintain good works. Think about how these Christians in Crete would stand out from the rest of the Cretans. You know, I heard someone mention a while back a group of atheists were getting all upset about something. I can't remember what it was, and it really doesn't matter. But someone took the time to say, how many good works are these atheists doing? How many people are they feeding? How many children are they taking care of? And just gave a whole list of things like that. Well, I thought that was very interesting. You can just imagine that the people living in Crete weren't all that concerned about doing good works. But these Christians were to be careful to maintain good works. And think about the great influence that they would have upon their fellow Cretans. And you know, influence sometimes requires some time to take effect. Influence upon someone else won't necessarily pay off overnight, but in time, it will make a difference. Well, these passages that we have studied deal with matters of utmost importance. That's why they're all referred to as faithful sayings. The principles being taught in these verses are all extremely important. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In order to live with the Lord, it's essential that we die with him. When we are saved, we're to exercise ourselves unto godliness. And those who have been saved are to be careful to maintain good works. That pretty much sums up the New Testament, doesn't it? as we go through this year, let's practice the principles that are taught in these faithful sayings. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.